Come on, go down. Come on, go down. Amen. Amen. Come on, say amen tonight. Amen. We are so grateful tonight to my friend and my brother. I want the Oak Grove family to know that if your pastor has picked up any bad eating habits, I am partly responsible. I have introduced my friend to heart attacks and grilled honey buns. And if you're ever in Monroe on Friday morning, just let us know. We'll get you to the place where you can share in these heart attacks and grilled honey buns. Amen. I do want to say how grateful and thankful we are for being invited on tonight. I don't need to tell you that you have a wonderful pastor. He is a gentleman, he is a scholar, and he is a friend of mine. And so I am grateful and thankful to all of the First Missionary Baptist members that have come. I want to thank Brother Bruce Jefferson, one of our deacons, who did his travel recognizance on Sunday to make sure he knew exactly where we were coming. Amen. And so he made sure that we were not going to go astray. Amen. And so we are so grateful to all of our members. We have several deacons here. A couple of our sons of the house, Reverend Calloway, Reverend Martin, Reverend Smith, are here on tonight. And so many of our deacons are here along with our choir members. And so we have some ushers here tonight. And we're just grateful to our staff of musicians that are here sharing with us on tonight. Let's get in his word. Let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so that we will not belabor the time, I will not read chapter 12 in its entirety. However, the context of the message tonight has a great deal to do with the entire chapter. And so we will pick out several things and we will move from there. I do, for reading purposes, I will read verse 4 and then I will interject other verses while we are sharing in this sermonic presentation. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, I want to look at verse 4. And I'll read a few of the following verses. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And I want to talk tonight for a few minutes from the subject, the power of one. The power of one. It is very easy that in the climate of which we live in the year of 2018, that we can become divided by several different things. Politics divide us. Affluency divides us. Statuses divide us. But in the body of Christ, there can be no division. The power of the church lies in its ability to stand on the very foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ. He did not shed his blood for one group or two groups. He shed his blood that whosoever would believe in him might have the right to the tree of life. We would not perish, but we would have eternal life. This church at Corinth, if you will, can be described as being bipolar. It can be described as being bipolar primarily because in chapters 1 through 4, we see a divided church. We see a church that is not together. We see a church that is going in several different directions. And if the world is to be seasoned by the church cannot afford to be putting out mixed ingredients. We cannot suggest that we are the church and then be decided inside of the walls. The Corinthian church is divided because of possible beliefs along with politics of that like in that particular time. And then when you leave chapters 1-4, we see that the beginning of all of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, they begin to deal with immorality. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about immorality in this particular passage in chapters 5 and 6, it starts talking about sexual immorality. And ladies and gentlemen, we must not be afraid to talk about sex in the church, primarily because when you read chapter 5 and chapter 6, you will find out that it happens in the church as well. We cannot rely on teachers to teach our children about sexual education. If anyone should be teaching our children about sexual education, we should get it from the unadulterated Word of God. We should teach them when it should happen. We should teach them why it should happen. And according to the Word of God, horizontal entertainment is supposed to be between a husband and a wife. And when we look at this category of immorality in chapters 5 and 6, it's not just fornication. This is family situations. This is a son and a mother-in-law. When you start reading in 1 Corinthians, you see a church that is roller coaster-ish, if you will. It's up, it's down, it goes around some corners, it's got some embankments, but lest we just look at Corinth. There are pastors in the nation who are being accused of sexual immorality. There are situations in churches where members may have had to register as sexual predators. The church is not saved from the sins of the world. They are in the church just like they are in the community. However, the church is protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that cleanses us. It is the blood that has saved us. It is the blood that has paid the price for the sins that we have committed and still commit. Without the shedding of the blood, there could be no remission of sin. The good part about that is once a year when the high priest would go in the Holy of Holies and take the blood to sacrifice for the sins of the people, that atonement would take place once a year. Yeah. I'm shout happy tonight that God no longer has to send his son to pay the price and the sacrifice for the sins that we continue to commit every day of our life. Calvary happened once. And I thank God tonight that once was good enough. And so it is in this book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1-4 deals with disunity. Chapter 5 and 6 deal with immorality. And to show you how it bounces back and forth, chapter 7 talks about marriage. It's amazing that it sings one song with different verses. And in this book that goes from side to side, back and forth, it is almost parallel to our lives, primarily because we're right sometimes and we're wrong sometimes. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, when I would do good,
says evil is always present. He said, the good that I would do, I don't do that, but the bad that I should not be doing, that's what I find myself doing. So he said, I find that there is a war on the inside.
And ladies and gentlemen, isn't it a shame that the things that we know not to do, those are the things that we find ourselves doing. I'll never forget as a child, walking through the kitchen, stove was on. Mama said, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Bing, 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 bing. The very first thing you want to do is to touch the stove. Only to find out that when the finger bubbles up in that blister-like form, Mama just looks back and says, you touched the stove, didn't you? Well, guess what God does to us? We know what not to do. And yet when God sees us make mistakes, our conscience, the Holy Spirit that works within the individuals that are saved, gently reminds us, you did what you shouldn't do. But oh, I hope I'm not the only one in here tonight that is glad God has mercy for mess ups like myself. I'm glad tonight that when we make mistakes, we've got a God who is plentiful in grace and mercy and loving kindness. I'm even more grateful that I don't serve a God of a second chance. I messed that one up years ago. But I serve a God of another chance. And tonight, before we really jump into this text, if you are like me and have made mistakes, tonight we serve a God who is willing to give you another chance. And so we walk through chapters 8 through 11. These chapters focus on liberty, which means freedom, as well as worship, which is why we're here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be free without Jesus in your life. There are many people who wear jumpsuits of the orange color with numbers on the front or the back. They are incarcerated, but some of them are more free than we are. Because we are walking around free to do what we want, but there's something that has a hold on some of us that we think we're free, but we are bound by what holds us. And if it were not for the love of God sacrificing his son, Jesus Christ, we would not be free to this day. But the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. And so I said all of that to get us to chapter 12, where Paul starts talking about spiritual gifts. There's so many spiritual gifts, we would not have time to deal with all of them on tonight. But when we start talking about spiritual gifts, every child of God has a spiritual giftedness. The trouble is, many of us have not spent the time figuring out exactly what God has gifted us to do. Some of us are teachers, but we work in the kitchen. And some people work in the kitchen, but they should be teaching. Ladies and gentlemen, it comes a time when you've got to decide, how can I benefit the body of Christ the most? And that is simply to walk in the ways God has planted you. And so it says here in verse 4, as we talk about the bipolarness of the Corinthian church, chapters 1 through 4, there is no unity, but in verse 4 and 5, not only do we see the unity of the Godhead, we see the unity of the triune, do we also see the unity of what we call the Trinity. You'll never find that word used in Scripture to describe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, we have customarily decided that the three of them who serve in different capacities, but they work in one Godhead, we call them the triune, meaning three, or the Trinity, which means the same. Watch what is said to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Teaches us first that there is unity
in diversity. Now, the reason why that is important is because it's okay to be different. But just because we're different, it doesn't mean we have to be divided. It's okay to be unique. It's okay to be independent. It's okay to be your own individual. But as a child of God, we've got to recognize that regardless how unique we are, there is but one body of Christ. Oak Grove is a location. First Missionary Baptist is a location. We may have different worship styles. We may have unique presentations, but we all worship the same Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, when God decides that this world shall be no more, there will not be but one location for all of the children of God. There will not be any sections in glory. I wonder tonight, upon arrival, I said to myself, I wonder if we'll sit in this place tonight, divided. And I'm grateful to see that there are members over here and members over here. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't care how we vote. God doesn't care what restaurants we go to. He doesn't care what high schools we go to. All God cares about is, are you a believer or are you not a believer? We see the unity in diversity. Watch what verse 4 says. Verse 4 says, there are different gifts, but there's only one Spirit. Said there are different ministries, but there's only one Lord. He says there are different activities, but there's only one God. And ladies and gentlemen, I am grateful to understand that while there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they function uniquely different, but they never function outside of one another. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you talk about in the beginning God, we look at the Father as the creator. And then he moves forward down in verses 26 and 27 where he increases the participation of the Godhead where he says, let us make man in the likeness of our image. We realize that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, which moves us to God, the Son, who came down through 42 generations in the flesh. And so while we have God the Father as the creator of all that is present, we have Christ the Son, who is the Savior of all that will believe. Romans teaches us that you got to believe in your heart. You got to confess with your mouth. Bible then declares you can be saved. He goes further to say, how can they believe in whom they haven't heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Ladies and gentlemen, the word, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about it's by the foolishness of preaching. To those that don't believe, but to us that believe, preaching is the power of God unto salvation. I love singing. Wish I could sing better than I do, but it is by the preaching of the gospel that is going to save us from a burning hell. We see in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about unity while yet having diversity. I said a minute ago, we can be different, but it doesn't mean we have to be divided. When you start looking at verse 12 to the end of chapter 12, we find a unique mechanism that all of us can relate to. Paul starts talking about the physical body and how it has many different parts. But all of the different parts are attached to the same body. In the church, some have deacons, some have trustees, some have missions, some have ushers, but they are all auxiliaries of one church. When was the last time you stubbed your toe and your body didn't know it? There are parts of our physical body that are more presentable than others. There are parts of our body that we are more proud of than others. But what Paul talks about in chapter 12, verses 12 on down, he talks about the hand cannot say that because it is not the foot, that it is not a part of the body. And ladies and gentlemen, if we can be honest tonight, in every church in America, there are some things that we're working on that we're not so proud to present in front of visitors. There are areas in church where you got some stuff pushed in closets because you don't want it sitting out so everybody that comes in the building can see, but yet it's still part of the building. And ladies and gentlemen, when we start talking about the body of Christ, we've got some adulterers in the body. We've got some fornicators in the body. We've got some liars in the body. We've got some cheaters, some stealers. We've even got some mouth-wise murderers in the body of Christ. But this is the good thing about what's wrong in the body. When you go back to Matthew chapter 1 and look at the genealogy of Christ, the one who is perfect, the one who is blameless, the one who is without sin, the one who is without fault. Christ did not have a clean genealogy. David's in the genealogy of Christ. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David was a fornicator. David even had a hot temper. But guess he was in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Rahab was a harlot, a woman of the night, a prostitute, a lady who got paid for sexual services. But when you look at the genealogy of Christ, her name is right there. Oh, I need to pause here just to tell you, it's not always about where you come from. It's about who you surrender your life to that allows you to go further than you ever could have gone. So tonight, we see in the first part of this chapter, unity in diversity. We then also find that the Godhead is unified. But then we find that even in the body, even though it's unified, the parts, the pieces, have different functions. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody can't be the pastor. Everybody can't be the usher. To be an usher or to be a greeter, you got to have a good attitude. You got to be willing to smile regardless as to how bad it is at the house, regardless as to what's going on your job. When you are a greeter, you are the first person that somebody sees. And all of us, if we'll be honest, don't have the best attitude all the time. And that's why God has uniquely placed in the physical body the right pieces in the right places. What Paul is ultimately getting to in chapter 12 is not only must there be unity in the diversity, but there also must be unity in the purpose of the gifts. God did not give spiritual gifts for us to become big-headed. God did not give spiritual gifts for us to get plaques on a wall, or for us to get our names called over the pulpit, over the microphone. God gave spiritual gifts so that it could benefit the body of Christ. And that the kingdom of God could be edified by the gifts of the members within the body. Only God knew that the nose was supposed to smell. Only God knew that the ears were supposed to hear. How bad would it be if we had put what we wanted where we think it should be? We'd be in a mess because we wouldn't know where to put it. Aren't you glad that God knows exactly where it's supposed to fit?
What is the hand without the wrist? What is the shoulder without the collarbone? What is the head without the neck? What is the pastor without the congregation? What are the sheep without a shepherd? What is a shepherd without protection? What is a shepherd without provision? Ladies and gentlemen, the power of one simply says to us the importance of unification. Unification doesn't always mean we'll agree. But unification means when we walk out, we stand together. Unification doesn't always mean that my candidate got in, but unity means we are the United States of America. United we stand. Divided we fall. Unification is key. It shows its head in Acts chapter 2 when the church is on one accord. Those that had gave to those that didn't. They received the word of God. They were in constant and consistent fellowship. And as a result of their unification, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let me share with us how we're divided, and I'll give it back over to Pastor Wigley. We're united in the sense that this very same writer, Paul, writes to the church at Rome, and he says in that third chapter, in that 23rd verse, he says, "For all that unites us have sinned that unites us and have come short of the glory of God." We're united in that we have all made some mistakes. We're united in that all of us need the same salvific blessing. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what side of the track you grew up on. Doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, big, fat, tall, skinny. We have all messed up. The church is the healing hospital for the sin-sick souls of men, women, boys, and girls who have the same problem. We're unique in the fact that we've all messed up. We're unique in the fact that we all need the same remedy. And that's why I like what Paul says in Romans 6:23. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the penalty for the mess up. But then there's a but. That word "but" simply means we're getting ready to transition. It means that whatever was said before it, it's getting ready to change on the backside. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We're unified in that we all messed up. We're unified that the same gift has been made available. But it is in that fifth chapter, verse 8, probably one of my favorite in the New Testament canon. Paul says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, I'm so glad tonight God didn't wait. If God had to wait for us to get ourselves together, Jesus would still be in heaven. But thank God, we're united in our error. We're united in our need. But we're also united in the prescription. There is but one way to handle the sins of the world. Jesus figured
He'd be the only one that could do it. After all, the prophets of the Old Testament couldn't fix it. The writers of the gospel couldn't fix it. Paul, who wrote more books in the New Testament than any other writer, he wasn't able to fix it. God said, if I'm going to get it done, I must have to do it myself. So he wraps himself up, sends himself down through 42 generations, heals some sick, raises some dead, gives sight to some blind, unstops some deaf ears. Even that name, he raised some dead. But that's not why he came. He came to get to a place called the skull. He came to get to a place called Golgotha. And I thank God tonight that on a hill called Calvary, there were three crosses. One cross had a selfish man. He said, if you are who you say you are, save yourself. Then there was another cross. And that cross was one who was trying to find out how he could get to heaven. And then there was that cross who hung in the middle. The power of one. Three crosses. Three men. Only one cross had the power. It's that cross that we celebrate tonight. It's that cross that we look up to tonight. It's that cross where our Savior, Jesus Christ, hung, bled, and died so that the sins of the free world could be paid for. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm here tonight as I prepare to take my seat to say how glad I am that it didn't end on the cross. Thank God. They took him down. Put him in a tomb that was not his. That simply means he was borrowing something that belonged to somebody else. Oh, when I read Webster's dictionary, that word borrow means to use temporarily. And when you finish using it, the expectation is that you would give it back. Oh, how proud I am tonight to stand as a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he borrowed that tomb Friday night. He borrowed that tomb Saturday night. But the Bible declares that early, the third day morning, the Bible declares that he rose with all power in his hand. The Bible further declares that he is now ascended and he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And yet one of these days, when time shall be no more, one of these days when we shall stick our swords in the sands of time, never to study war anymore, our Lord is going to step out of glory and he's going to come back for his people. The Bible declares the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the sky. I don't know where I'll be when he comes, but this is what I'm glad about. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whenever God gets ready, I'm ready for his return. As Pastor Wigley comes back tonight, the power of one simply means we have greater power united than we have divided amongst ourselves. When the body of Christ wants to make a difference in America, the predominantly white church can't stand by itself. The predominantly black church cannot stand by itself. The church must stand together if the world is to know that God is the head of our lives. And we love one. And we love all. Because when we get to heaven, there won't be any sections. When we get to heaven, there won't be any divisions. When we get to heaven, we'll be serving and worshiping the same Savior. And I'm so glad tonight to be able to serve in this place with my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. The power of one. United we stand, but divided, we certainly will fall. Pastor Wigley is coming.